Yossi was just showing me that he was in Har HaZeisim by the tzion of the Vala Belzer, Belzerov. And it was very apropos because tonight we're speaking about the father of Vala Belzer, Sachadoyf. So his name was on, of course, on the tzion, on the cover. So by doing Rabbi Sachadoyf Belzer, that means that Baruch Hashem, we've already done the Sar Shalom from Belz, Rabbi Shula, his son, Rabbi Arla, we've done. And this will kind of be the hat trick. Plus one. And the Belz Tzadikim, Adayom, although there's others, like the father of the current Rebbe, Mordechai, and other Tzadikim from base Belz, but Baruch Hashem. Sachadov Belzer, who was Nifter in the early 1900s, First World War, he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Going to Olam, it's Tzadik Yisod Olam. Like all the Belzer Rebbes. Rav Arla Roth, Hashem Remunim, said that to look at the face of the Belzer Rav was a skula for Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim was always upon him. Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, it was a chiddush because he never met the Belzer Rav, but he said that he was the Goyin Batorah. The Haremez Lakach is that he was Nifter on Chaf Beis Cheshva, which is this past week. And there's Chaf Beis Isis entire. To show the godless and the goinus of the Belzer Rav, he was Nifter on Chaf Beis Cheshva. Rav Arla said, and because of the war, the Belzer Rav had to travel to different places. He spent a long time in a city called Ratzfurt during the First World War. And during that time, with Arla, he said about his father that when they bring the dogim to my father on Friday night to eat the fish, and he turns the plate around a couple times, when he does that, he chazers all of Hilchas Shabbos in the turning of the plate. That's how big of a guy he was. Just in turning the plate. He used to say about his father all the time. He says, my tata is Gibena Malach. He used to say that all the time. My father was a Malach. Varla was a big Anav, so whenever he would think about, you know, the dynasty of Belz and his father, where he came from, he would say, for me, I can't do it. My father, he was a Malach Elokim, so he did it. But for me, you know, I can't do that. Of course, Varla was, you know, there was nobody a Malach like a Varla, but there was nobody an Anav like a Varla. But he had the greatest respect for his father. At one point, Rabbi Sachadoyf and his father, Rabbi Shula, they traveled to the city of Vienna, I guess you would say it. And one Friday night, they were staying at a hotel, and they hear from across the hall, there's a voice of somebody who's learning Torah. And they were listening to it the whole Shabbos. It was come out nonstop. They're very intrigued by this, so they went over, And they knocked on the door and they looked and they saw that it was a yid who was dressed up in army clothes. So they said, "Am I high? What's the story here?" He was wearing army clothes. So he said that he was serving in the army, and Bishum Oifin, he didn't want to have to be Mechala Shabbos, so he struck a deal with the head of the platoon that he would give him off Shabbos. In return, he would work extra hard during the week. And the head of the platoon, he agreed to that. So he had off on Shabbos. That's what he was doing in the hotel. And he told the Belzer Rebbeim, he said, I said to myself, now that Hashem had it, that I was able to take off on Shabbos, I should be makdish the day kulu l'Hashem. And not just that he would have the time to daven, not even just to learn a little bit, but he would learn the entire day, all night, as much as he could. So Rabbi Sechetov was so misboiled from this. And he says, ulai, who knows? Maybe the geula doesn't come because of yidden like this. Because Hashem's going to have tremendous nachas from Korbanos and the Beis HaMikdash. It's all going to be great. But look at the nachas that Hashem has from something. So I was like, this is extraordinary. Hashem's not going to have this when the Beis HaMikdash comes. So maybe yidden like this are holding back the geula. So he said. So during the First World War, like all the tzaddikim, whenever there was a war, they were very involved. From a distance, they're very involved in every aspect of the war. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? This battle, that battle. So, an example of that is, during the First World War, in the Austrian army, there was a soldier, a Jewish soldier, who was also like the what are they called, the chaplain. So he was able to make it to Munkach, and the Belzerov, Rabbi Sachadov, happened to be there at the time. So when he came in, and the Belzerov started to inquire about, you know, his whereabouts and the war and so on and so forth, so he started to get into very great detail in terms of the war and the different tactics and what's happening. So the Belzerov told him, he says, if you have any influence whatsoever, so I'm telling you now that what's going to happen is that this army is going to proceed from the west to the east, and if you were smart, you would have your troops in over here and to make sure that nothing happens. So he said to the Belzerov, he said, with all due respect, he says, how are you telling me this? If you're telling me this is a mumch in war, like, you know, everything what you're telling me is opposite into what to expect. But if you're telling it to me as a Rebbe, then I'm a vatel my das to you, and we'll do as you say. So he says, I tell it to you as a Rebbe. So he says, exactly as the Belzerov told him what would happen, that's exactly what would happen. Exactly as he said. In fact, there was a yid named Reb Zelig, and he traveled every year to come see the Belzerov, and he became close, and it became his tafkid to help the Belzerov put up the sukkah every year. And he had a certain simon from the Belzerov that he was supposed to stay once he had come a few months before sukkahs, that the Belzerov wanted him to stay. And he wanted him to help not just with the sukkah, but other things around the building which needed to be helped. So he said that the Belzerov would call him just randomly to be like, okay, make a hole over here, this needs to be like a window now, this needs to be closed up. It's just out of the blue, he would call him in for some tasks like that. And then he realized that the news which would come in about the war was mamash b'chuvin, according to what the Belzerov would say. That when there was a breach in the army in that area, whatever it was, it happened to be that at that part of the house where he told him to make an opening, that was exactly what happened in the war. So whatever he was telling him to do in the building was mamash in mechuvin according to what he wanted to go on in the war which is taking place. This is the degree of the Ruach HaKodesh and in involvement which the tzaddikim have had and continue to have in all of these things. Because many Yidden were being enlisted, scripted into the army, so many of them would come to the Belzerov for Yeshua. They would hide out by him, or they'd ask for, you know, for a pur and to be spalal on the behalf, or for a maifes. And there was a Yid who came to the Belzerov, and he was waiting in line to see the Rebbe for a pur from the army. So he was waiting in line. And all of a sudden, it was for a very long time, and then right before he was supposed to come in, the Gabbai said, the Rebbe says that he's not accepting any more people to come in. Everybody should go home, and even if you think that you, by waiting a day or 2 days, you're going to let you in, chaval on the time. The Rebbe says that there's nobody's being taken anymore. So this Yid was heartbroken. And he went back to his town, and he was waiting to see, you know, the head of this department where he was going to be placed in the army. So he's waiting in line. All of a sudden, one of the assistants from the head guy comes out and he says, whoever is waiting in line should go home. You don't have to wait here anymore. If you think by staying here for a day or two you're going to see you, we're not going to see you anymore. Everybody should go home. He said, nobody needs to stay anymore. Nobody's coming to the army. So during the First World War, where they were, as we said, they were taking Yidden into the army. So some of the Yidden were able to get off for Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, and for Shmini Atzeres, and many of them came to the Belzer Rav. And there was a Yid who was dressed up in his uniform, and he came for the dancing. And Chassidim weren't happy with that. They didn't think it was respectful that he came to the dancing in his uniform. So they tried to they knocked him around a little bit, you know, out of the dancing and so on, you know, so that he shouldn't be what they thought was disrespectful. When the Belzerov saw what was going on, he was makbid on them. And he says, "No, you should stay here and you should stay in his uniform." He says, "Why? Because my Zayda, my father, and they're all coming to the dancing. And I want them to see what it looks like in Golus for us here. Mm-hmm. How the matzav looks. So when they go back up, they should say, the Rebbeinu Shlom should say, it's not so easy for us down here. We need a Yeshua." Somebody once came to him, and he was complaining that he had a son, he was a teenager, and he wasn't learning. He probably wasn't learning. So the Rebbe said, so he says, "And you? And what's with you?" He said, "Rebbe, I don't have time to learn. I'm busy making a parnasa all days of the, you know, all hours of the day." And he says, "When I come home, I'm so tired and I collapse and I really don't have any time to learn." So he says, "Well, what? Do you think that your son is going to be a master if he doesn't see you learn?" He says, "If you want your son to be a master, so come home and learn something." And so he sees how important it is. He'll be a master. In a certain town, one of his chassidim had an inn, and he had a bar in the inn, and people would come, they would spend the night, and they would drink, and it was getting a little out of hand, because people would come, and they would drink, and they would get shikr, and then they would leave without paying. So they instituted a new policy, that after being robbed for so long, that if you wanted to get a mashker, you had to pay in advance. So there was, the husband had to go out of town and the wife was running the bar. So a guy came and he said, "You know, give me a drink." So she said, "No, we have a new policy here. They have to pay." He's like, no, I promise you I'm going to pay. So she said, "Okay, what are you supposed to do? One drink, two drinks, three drinks." And then after the fourth drink, he asked for another and she said, "No, you have to pay." He said, "I don't have any money." And he started to laugh. She was so frustrated. She took something that was next to her. She took it and she threw it at him. And then it hit him right in the head. And he fell on the floor, and he died. So she was freaked out from the whole thing, and her husband came home, and he saw what was going on, and she was petrified, and she was screaming, and she said, "You have to go to the Belzer Rav and ask him what to do." So he picked up and he went to Belz, and he came to the Belzer Rav, and he was crying. You know, not knowing what's going to happen if the authorities find out, what's going to be. So the Belzer Rav told him, he says, "Go home, and when you get back home, daven mincha with kavana, right? And when you say tachanan by mincha, so have, you know, daven with all of your koiches, and amidst Hashem you have a reshua." That's what he told him. So he goes back. And with a broken heart, he does exactly like the Rebbe says. He goes into the room, he davens mincha, he says, tachanun with kavana. All of a sudden, the guy gets up. He gets up. He's been dead for many days already. He gets up. He's, you know, going like this, and he's drunk, and he walks, you know, a few hundred, 200 feet outside of the inn, and then he collapses again, and he dies. And then the people find him there, and nobody knew that, he, you know, they just thought that he had too much to drink, and he was, he died, you know, on the road, no shaykhs. So the kid was so misspoiled, obviously, from a maifis like that. He goes running to the Belzer Rav, and he says, "Rebbe," he says, "you don't believe it, what happened." He got up, and he went, and Yeshua, "I don't understand." He says, "If Tachanun has such a koyach, then how come the chassidim are like, oh, there's a yortz, no Tachanun, there's no Tachanun, no Tachanun. How come there always no Tachanun?" So the Belzer looked at him, he says, "What, you want that all the goyim should be Shabbat Chiyas amazing?"
Oh my. <That's good.
clears throat> one Friday night, the Belzerov, he had a knife and he was trying to cut the challah. And every Friday night, he had a very hard time cutting because it was very blunt, the edge of this knife. And it took him a really hard time. He was in a lot of kaychas to cut the challah. So there was one chassid there who decided that he was going to sharpen the blade of the knife. You know, the Gemara says it's an important thing. So he went ahead and he did it. And the next Friday night, so the Belzerov took the challah, went right through. So the Belzerov was looking around and he said, "Who did this to the knife? Who did this to the knife?" And nobody wanted to say. The Belzerov, like we said before, everybody was pachad by the Belzerov. So nobody wanted to say. All of a sudden the Belzerov says, "Whoever did this to the knife, I bless them with Arichas Yom." So he said. And so then this Yid said, "It was me." And he lived to be to 90, 95 years old. Somebody once asked him why he doesn't go. He stopped coming to the Belzerov a short while after that. So why do you stop coming? He said, "I stopped coming because I'm already an old man. And so I have so many tirdas from my children and my einaklach and my great einaklach. They're always asking me this, this, and that. I don't want to live anymore. I don't want any more Arichas Yom." That's what he said. So he doesn't want to come back because he doesn't want to get any more brachas from the Belzerov. He was very stark on the begadim and how Chassid Shiyad should dress with his pace out and with the bekeshe and strimel. He was uncompromising when it came to the tzura of Chassid Shiyad. He made a very big mechalm in that, didn't you? He was once and he was in Ratzfurt. A yid came. Chassid Shiyad came with like his payas tucked behind his ears, and he couldn't really see the payas. So he said the Belzerov took his payas and he put them to the front, and he says the goyim also look like that, meaning if it's behind your ears, then you don't look any different from a goy. So he said, "Rebbe, the reason why I did that because I was on the train. And I was afraid that, you know, if I look like a Yid, that maybe, who knows, that they would harm me, an anti-Semite." So the Belzerov said, "Adarabba, when you look like a Yid and your payas are out, on that it says, V'ro kolam ya'aretz kishem asher nikra lecha v'yoro mimecha. I'm going to be afraid of you when you look like a Yid." That's what the Gemara says about Tfilin Shabaroish. Right. So he said that about the payas. So there was a Yid who found some type of a belt, and he was Isaac in the midst of Hashavas Aveda. And after some time, finally, he was able to find the owner. And when the owner came to retrieve the object, so the Belzerov was standing there, the Yid, he took the belt, and he just kind of like tossed it to the owner. So the Belzerov was very surprised by that. He says, "I don't understand." He says, "How often do you get to do the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda?" He says, "You know what you should do before you hand it to him? Well, wash your hands until it's a dime. Put on your gartel, and then you hand it over to him like a mensch. With the proper kavana, you begin kind of mitzvah of Shabbat Aveda. You don't just, you know, happy, you throw it at him. You have the yeshiva das to think to yourself, I'm about to do a mitzvah of Shabbat Aveda. How often you should be so on fire from the mitzvah. Yeshiva das, achanas, and kavanas. That's the way that a tzaddik thinks. How you go ahead and you do something like that." When he was first married, so he spent a good amount of time by the Zayda of his wife, which was Rabbi Aaron Schonobler. And during that time, he was a Gevaldik Masmid. And his father sent a letter to the Zayda, to Rabbi Aaron, saying that he should be Makarev my son. Rabbi Aaron Schonobler was a tzaddik adar, and the Rabbi Shula asked that he should be Makarev his son, Rabbi Sacher Daif. So he wrote a letter back to him saying, he says, "I don't know when I could be Makarev him. I probably never see him. He's Isaac and Tyra day and night. I never get to see him." So after some time, he traveled back to Belz. And during those years, he wrote Chidush HaTorah while he was in Chernobyl. And he wanted to bring them to his father. But the Hasidim, they stole the Kuntresim. Because they felt that that he didn't subscribe as much as he should have to the whole Chernobyl Mahalach, as being now like a grandson of the Chernobyler. So they stole the Kontraceptive from him. So when he came back to his father, and he was heartbroken that he couldn't have the Kontraceptive to show, and he should have the Nachas and see the Chiddushei Torah. So his father said to him, "Zeh Sefer Toldos Ha'adam." Instead of having the Sefer, he gave him a bracha, that instead of the Sefer, you're going to have children who will be tzaddikim. And you know who came from that bracha? Rabbi Lavelzer came from that bracha. But he benched him that he should have children. There were other children that he had were gevaldik tzaddikim as well. Bring now Maisa that my Rebbe once told me. He says that during these years that Rebbe Yisachar Doiv spent by Aaron Chernobler, so once they had a meeting. They needed to have a meeting in Chassidus that funds were running very low, and they needed to find ways to kind of cut down on costs. So they came to Aaron Chernobler, and they said, Rebbe, what should we do? So they said, maybe we should cut down on this. No, you can't cut down on this. Cut down on this. So he said, I need to think about it. So he said like this. He said, normally in the morning, when I have my coffee, so I have my coffee, and Rabbi Yisachar Doiv has his coffee, and I take a sugar cube. And Rabbi Yisachar Doiv takes a sugar cube. He said, but what we'll do is that to cut the costs, I'll take a sugar cube, I'll cut it in half. I'll take one half, and Rabbi Yisachar Doiv will take the other half, and that way we'll cut that on costs.
Oh my God!
That's what he said. And that was it. That's the only thing he was willing to compromise on, and that's what they did. That's what they did, and they had Yeshua after that. So my Rebbe explained. Because min hashamayim. This is what the tzaddikim needed for the yeshiva das. They didn't need very much, but they needed a regular coffee. When Shemaim, they would see that the tzaddik of the generation, the Yisachar Doiv, that they were being mitzamtzim themselves, it would create such an uproar in the heavens that such a thing was happening, that he knew that all they needed to do was mamash mi'uta de mi'uta in order to open up the shefa. That's all that was needed to do. We'll cut down on costs. We'll split the sugar cube. He'll take a half and I'll take a half. So that's how much Minashamay, and it was so chaviv that Yisachar Doiv should learn with Yisheva Das, and Aaron Chernobler should be able to be the tzaddik of the generation. That's what needed to be done. Thank you. He was very mekusher to Yom Kippur. Not a day went by that he didn't say something about Maseches Yuma or the Avodah Yom Kippurim. By him, Yom Kippur was the day. Every day by him was Yom Kippurim. So, a chassid once came, and not a chassid, there was a yid who came, and he said to the Rebbe, he says, in the city where I come from, the chassidim, they're right with me. Why it is that I don't go to the mikveh every single day? And he said to the Rebbe, where is it written that you should go to the mikveh every day? So he said, where is it written? He says, in Minhag Yisrael Torah. He says, anybody who's maharach, Minhag Yisrael is an apikoros. He says, but even though I'll tell you a reason. Because the Magen Avraham writes in Hilchas Yom Kippur, in the name of the Maril, that the reason why we go to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur is because if you're doing tshuva, which is what Yom Kippur is, it's the day of tshuva, tshuva requires the mikvah. And since Chazal say in Mishnah, Shuv Yom Echa Lifnei Misasecha, to do tshuva every day, because you don't know which day is your last day, so Mameli, go to the mikvah every day, because maybe this is your last day, so you have to do tshuva. And there was a the Belzerov. He was once speaking to a certain chassid, and he asked him, when is the yortzeit of your father? So he was a very big tzaddik, this yid's father. So he says, my father picked a day to die that day of the year that he says that it's a day of the year where let's say it's a Tuesday. If that day of the year, whatever it was, every year, the Yom Kippur Haba, the coming Yom Kippur, will fall out on that same day. meaning, so whatever day the Yortzeit falls out that year, the coming Yom Kippur will also fall out that day too. So the Belzev said, interesting. He says there are some tzaddikim also that they pick a day for the of their p'tira. You know, the tzaddik chooses the day that he dies. That's our Chama Kodesh, the beginning of Parshas. A tzaddik chooses the day of his p'tira. So he says that there are many stories about that. We've mentioned some of them. So the Belzev said right away, he says, that's interesting. Some tzaddikim pick a day that of the calendar, that day is the day of the previous Yom Kippur. That's what he said in response. And it turned out that was exactly the day he picked. The day Chof Beis Cheshvan, whatever day that is, so it was the same day as the Yom Kippur of the passing. That's how makusher he was. That day of the week, yeah. That was how makusher he was to the Indian of. He used to say also that a chassid has to be by his Rebbe for Parshas Chayisar. That's what he told the chassidim. You have to be by a Rebbe for Parshas Chayisar. Nobody knew what was the Indian. Parshas Chayisar, be by a Rebbe. Until they saw years later that he passed away the week of Chayisar. And Mamela, when he passed away, all the chassidim were there. Because he was always said, you should come for Parshas Chayisar, come for Parshas Chayisar. You see, they saw always in advance. They chose the Shabbos, they chose the day, they chose all the Inyanim. Okay. Tzadik comes.